Praise God. Last week I had mentioned that for this year, the theme of our church is walking with God. And I mentioned that part of that process of walking with God is reflecting on last year and taking a look at some of the struggles that we had and maybe some of the bad habits that we developed, especially because we have been sheltering in place. And the reason I did this is because we really want to end this year stronger spiritually than we start off. And so part of that process of walking with God daily is that reflection on last year and developing the right kind of heart that God wants us to have. And I love these lyrics in that song Hosanna by Hillsong United. Let me read a couple of the lyrics that Joanne just sang. It says, "Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to things unseen. Show me how to love like you." And that's the kind of heart we want to develop. And that's what happens when we are willing to take a look at some of the bad habits that we have developed over time. It helps us to shape our hearts the way God wants us to shape our hearts. And we can come clean and be honest and ask God for his help. So today we are starting kind of a tough sermon series because it's really kind of a, I would say, a heart and gut check for all of us. And it's called My Big Bad Habits. And hopefully by putting some light on some of our big bad habits, we'll be able to work on them again. So we will end this year so much stronger than we are starting. And I want to start with a big bad habit that all of us struggle with from time to time. But I think the events of last year and the events that we're seeing this year, because the reality is the way that 2020 ended is exactly how 2021 is starting. And this big bad habit that has been growing, and honestly, I think it's been growing out of control, is hypocrisy. And so we're going to talk about that today. Let me open us up in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Lord, help us to really search our hearts, Lord. And through that, help us to develop a heart and a mindset that says, Lord Jesus, clean our hearts. Show us how to love like you. Lord Jesus, I pray that today your Holy Spirit would convict us to change, to be the kind of people, Lord, that love you, that are obedient to you and your word, the kind of people that love the way that you do. Lord, we pray this all in your name. Amen. One author described hypocrisy this way. He said, "Hypocrisy is not struggling with occasional sin. It is not the gap between who we are now and who we desire to become. It is about private versus public." If you look in a dictionary, you'll see a couple different kind of definitions, maybe like these two. One says, a false appearance, to be what one is not, or to believe what one does not. Behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. A pretense of having a virtuous character, moral or religious beliefs or principles, etc., that one does not really possess. It's interesting when you do a word study and you look at the original Greek word for hypocrite, it describes an actor performing under a mask, a pretender. This is where we get that idea of someone being two-faced. That's what a hypocrite is. But it's also, for Christians, really important to understand that hypocrisy can also be not confronting sin, not doing what we know God is calling us to do. We see this in James 4:17, the NIV, it says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Pastor and theologian Warren Wiserbe, he said this about hypocrisy. He said, truth without love is brutality. And love without truth is hypocrisy. So it's not just our actions not lining up with what we believe. It's also not confronting sin. It's being afraid to confront what we disagree with. And so we need to understand that there are different facets to hypocrisy, but in the end, it really comes down to not practicing what you preach. It's talking one thing and then acting another. And why is that bad? Why is hypocrisy so bad for anyone, but especially for Christians? Well, number one, it's because it deceives. It deceives both the hypocrite, and it also deceives the person that the hypocrite is trying to deceive. For the hypocrite, they're deceived because they know the truth of the Bible, the truth of God's character and what he expects of us, but they don't obey it. They also know the truth, but they don't truly understand it and its proper application to their lives. They are also deceived because they do not understand that obedience is about a heart condition. We see this in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 8. In the NIV, it says, "You hypocrites," this is Jesus talking, "you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." The hypocrite, they may think that they are honoring and glorifying God, but ultimately they are just honoring and glorifying themselves. They can teach confidently what the Word of God says, but they cannot apply the Word of God to themselves. And the most dangerous way that the hypocrite is deceived is they may believe that they are truly saved, that they have salvation through Jesus' sacrifice, but they really don't. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23 in the NIV addresses this. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" In other words, there are people out there that they walk like a Christian, they talk like a Christian, but they're not. They're hypocrites. And then on the other side, that those are those individuals who are deceived by the hypocrite, this is why it is not a good thing for them. It's because it gives them an inaccurate picture of the individual, of the hypocrite. We don't know what their real beliefs are. We don't know where they stand on anything because they kept flip-flopping depending on if we see them at church or we see them behind closed doors. We don't know if they really have any knowledge of the word, and we don't know their level of spiritual maturity. And because of this, these individuals who are being deceived by the hypocrite, they're not given a rightly divided interpretation and application of scripture. Another reason why hypocrisy is bad is that it damages. For Christians, people may walk away from their faith because they see people not practicing what they preach. We may also see people stumble in their faith because they may use one person's hypocritical actions as justifications for their own sin. They may say, "Well, hey, you know, I saw this Christian leader doing this and it seems okay for them, so I'm going to do the same thing." And they're stumbling in their walk because of what they're seeing other people do. And for non-Christians, they're damaged as well because they may mock Christianity. They may unfortunately never experience salvation through Jesus because they may be thinking to themselves, "Christians are all talk. And I don't want to be a part of something like that. These people are two-faced." Being in ministry for almost 20 years, I've always had to sign statements of faith on what I believed and also codes of conduct, whether this is ministries I've served in, seminary, my undergrad was a Christian college, all of these places, I had to yearly sign these statements of faith and codes of conduct. And being a pastor in the FMC, yearly, we have to sign these same kind of waivers on our faith and our behavior. Things like not using illicit drugs, not viewing pornography, not cohabitating, not having premarital sex. And this is because ministries understand that people's actions have a tremendous effect on others, and it affects people's personal testimonies. And they know the devastating effects that hypocrisy has on other people's faith and on the hypocrite's faith as well. Imagine a youth pastor that's teaching on respect and not taking the Lord's name in vain. He's doing this, let's say, or she's doing this at a youth group meeting. And then on their social media, you start seeing them insulting and disrespecting other people. And they're taking the Lord's name in vain out of their frustrations. Imagine how that affects the faith or the possible faith of students. And I think many of you would agree that over the last 12 months, we've seen a lot of people who, I believe many of them are really Christians. They're just hypocrites. And maybe some of them are not Christians. But unfortunately, social media has made it so easy for people to vent their opinions without thinking. And this is exactly what we're seeing. Hypocrisy damages. It also dishonors. Romans 2 verses 17 through 24 in the NIV. It says this, it says, now, if you call yourself a Jew, and in this case, we can reference this and apply it to our lives as Christians. But it says, now, you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, that would be the Bible for us. If you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have the law, the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, I love this part, do you not teach yourself? In other words, he's saying, hey, if you are a pastor, if you're a Christian leader, if you're a leader of the church, if you teach Bible studies, anything, do you also pay attention to what you are teaching? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? If you remember, last year I preached a sermon on sin, that Jesus upped that if you look at a woman or a man lustfully, you're committing adultery. So sin is a little deeper than just this. It gets deeper. It's a heart condition, as well as what the Bible says. You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. We're hurting our testimony. We're causing people to stumble. We're dishonoring God when we are hypocrites. Because hypocrisy, it dishonors God because it discourages God's followers. It discourages other Christians. It gives people reason to speak evil about God. And it does not represent God honestly and accurately. Ultimately, hypocrisy causes people to lose trust and respect for you, but it also causes people to lose trust and respect for God. I saw this quote that summed this up so well. It says, if Satan ever laughs, it must be at hypocrites. They are the greatest dupes he has, and they serve him better than any others, and they receive no wages. Hypocrisy hurts the kingdom of God. So how then do we begin to overcome the hypocrisy in our own lives? Well, one, we have to be honest. We have to be honest with God, ourselves, and with others. God knows everything in your heart. So if you are struggling with hypocrisy, pray. Ask God to reveal the areas you're struggling in, or ask God to help you. Help you where your actions and your thoughts, your beliefs, they all line up. And then be honest with yourselves. If there's something you're struggling with, that there's something you don't believe, don't go acting the opposite way. Don't go telling people something that you don't really believe. If there's something in the Bible that you struggle with now, don't act like you believe it or support it. Talk to your pastor, talk to your friends and say, hey, this is something the Bible says, and I don't know if I agree with it. I struggle with it. Could you help me? Do that instead of saying, oh, I believe this, but yet behind closed doors, I live completely different. And that's how you're also honest with others. Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5 in the NIV. It says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, be honest. Be honest with that plank in your own eye before you start pointing things out to other people. Because you will likely find that exactly what you are confronting others or challenging others on, it's exactly what you struggle with yourself. Next, respond the way James teaches. And we had a sermon on this last year. Actually, we had a whole entire series on James 1:19. In the NIV, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We have to pay attention to ourselves. I think part of the reason people are such hypocrites is because they let their emotions take over them and they don't think. And in that moment, they start speaking out. And sometimes, probably people don't even know what they're saying. It just comes out of anger or frustration, and they dig themselves in a hole, and they're not honest enough to start digging themselves out of that hole. So they just get deeper and deeper and deeper into their hypocrisy. Here are some other very tangible things that we can do to help us deal with our own hypocrisy. Don't spend so much time worrying about what other people think. Worry about what God thinks. So much hypocrisy comes from people not wanting to look judgmental. Well, why don't we worry more about God judging us or God thinking something of us than what other people think? Be careful not to condemn other people, because the reality is other people don't know, or we people, no one knows what's going on in people's hearts, but God does. And understand that condemning and confronting are two different things, because we do need to, if God is moving us to, confront sin. Condemning, though, is making a final declaration. It's saying someone is going to hell or they're pure evil and they will never change. That's what condemning someone is. But confronting, it's challenging someone to face up or deal with their sin. So they're different things, and we need to understand that. Pay attention to how context affects your thinking. A lot of times we take things out of context, or we miscommunicate because we don't understand where someone's coming from, or we're not articulating where we're coming from, and things are taken out of context that can affect our thinking. Pay attention to something called cognitive dissonance. And what that is, it's when you're feeling a tension inside of you. Maybe someone makes a comment and part of you thinks you agree with the statement, but then you kind of have this tension. You're like, well, I don't know. In this particular situation, I might act differently. Pay attention to that. Cognitive dissonance. Pay attention to it. Don't ignore it. Because when you ignore it, it leads to hypocrisy, because you're not dealing with your true feelings inside. You're just responding to maybe what other people are pressuring you to say or think, or maybe out of your anger or your frustration because of things that are going on. So pay attention to the tension that you feel. Pay attention to if you are speaking on something that you've never experienced or don't really have a good understanding of. Last year, I can't tell you how many times I'd hear people talking about topics that they had zero knowledge on. And they ended up making a lot of hypocritical statements or acting very hypocritical. And I think one of the best things you can do is if you don't understand something, you don't have the facts, talk to people, ask people that do. Get more knowledgeable about it so you can truly line up your beliefs and your actions so they're in line with one another, so you're not being hypocritical in your actions and your thoughts and your behaviors. Practice integrity. Pay attention to your promises. I think one of the areas that many people stumble with hypocrisy, and maybe they don't even mean to, is they make promises they cannot keep. And they do look like they're two-faced. So be really careful what you promise people. And be extremely careful when you make promises to God. And then I want to close with this final one because I think it's the most important. And it really sums up everything. It's pay attention to the way you live. Understand that your lifestyle, your choices, your words, your thoughts, your behaviors, all of these things affect people and their faith. That's why testimonies are so important, because when people hear about the goodness of God, they start thinking, maybe I want to be a part of this. That's why evangelism works, because you're showing your behaviors, you're sharing stories about how God has been so great in your life. You're doing things. Missionaries, they don't just go to these places and preach about God. They also work in the communities. That's what Emily did. You work in the communities so you can show the light of Jesus through your actions. But on the flip side, when you're hypocritical and your actions and your beliefs, they don't line up with what you're sharing with people, it damages people's faith. And ultimately, you may be responsible for someone not getting into the kingdom of God. I know that is a strong comment because it's up to people, but you may have had a huge impact on that. And so I want to encourage you guys to take a look at your life as you are looking to walk with Jesus daily. Ask God to reveal to you if there are any areas in your life where you are acting hypocritical. Ask the Holy Spirit to burden your heart the second a word or action comes out that isn't in line with what God is calling you to do. And I also encourage you to be strong and bold, that if there is something that you are struggling with, if there is a comment or not a comment, if there is a verse, a statement, if there is a way to live in the Bible that either you strongly disagree with, and maybe that's because you don't understand it, or maybe it's because it affects some area of your life, talk to someone about it. Talk to me, talk to Pastor Emily, talk to any of the leaders in our church, and expose that to the light, because we don't want to be Christians who are hypocritical. We want to be Christians that live our lives through the love of Jesus. We want to experience and express the love that Jesus has for us. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. We serve you. Lord, we ask for forgiveness in those moments when we're hypocritical. Lord, where maybe we're feeling pressure, maybe we're feeling fear, Lord, and we say things that we don't believe, or we act in ways that are not in line with what we know we should be doing. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict us. I pray, Lord, that starting this day and moving forward, before words come out of our mouth, Lord, before decisions are made, your Holy Spirit would stop us in our tracks, and we would think, that we would ask, is this what God has for me? Is this how God wants me to live? Does this glorify God? Does this show others that Jesus is number one in my life? Lord, I pray that for all of us. Help us, Lord, to walk with you daily. Help us to identify areas in our lives that we need to change. Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for you not being a hypocrite, Lord, that despite our flaws, our weaknesses, as Joanne mentioned, you love us. There is nothing that can separate us from your love. We pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen.